For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Obviously, the major headline news dominating all the conversations right now. Donald Trump has been indicted. And as we speak at this point, we don't know a lot of the details yet because the indictment is still under seal and there are still things in the process to work out. Now, we're fortunate enough to have Susie, who is an attorney here in with us right now. But we're also joined by Mike O'Neill from the Landmark Legal Foundation as well. And Mike, normally in an ideal situation, we try to separate out the criminal justice process, the judicial process, the court process from politics, but that doesn't look like what's happening right now.
Right. Good morning. And it's sad that opening day, what is normally a great day in our country, where it was ruined yesterday with this absurd, ridiculous news of the indictment, this indictment of President Trump. I mean, look, let's step back for a second. Let's talk about the role of the prosecutor here and the position of responsibility that prosecutors across this country have. And the role of the prosecutor, they have a special responsibility to dispassionately and objectively prosecute crimes and to execute and to exercise what is known as prosecutorial discretion. Right. And what is this to do? This is to guard against mob rule and to guard against the politicization we have elevated in our country. We used to have mob rule, vigilantism. We had ruler by kings. We've evolved beyond that. And that's one of the miracles of our democracy and a miracle of the United States of America, that we've said, no, we're going to separate our politics from our criminal justice system. We're going to say that politics, that those who wield the power to prosecute, that those who wield the power of the criminal justice system, and it's an immense power. Look at it. Look at the power that the police have. Look at the power that the prosecutors in our local jurisdictions have, that federal prosecutors have, that the Department of Justice has. And we've separated that out, and we've enjoyed this amazing miracle that is the United States of America, partly because of that. Well, those days are over, and that's what's the tragedy of it. Let's just look just a few things that we can top off of our heads that have occurred within the past few years that have happened. It started with Obama targeting using his Internal Revenue Service to target exempt organizations, right? We have the FBI concocting the Steele dossier as a pretext to investigate President Trump. We have the Twitter files, which we're hearing all of this. We're hearing how the FBI and the deep state have worked together with big tech to suppress politically inconvenient stories. We have the Department of Justice prosecuting those individuals, those noble individuals who are exercising their freedom of religion and protesting outside of abortion clinics. We have the DOJ ignoring the individuals who are bombing pregnancy centers. You have DOJ and the FBI investigating parents who are attending school board meetings. You have the prosecutors, the Department of Justice withholding exculpatory evidence for individuals who participated in the January 6th protests. I mean, it just doesn't end. And now what do? We cross the Rubicon now. We engage in the ultimate. We indict a former president on the very basis, thinnest of legal pretexts. We are using the power of the prosecutors to attack political opponents. And it's just a sad, tragic day for America.
Mike, you mentioned, you know, the power of the prosecutors, and something that's kind of been lost maybe in the past day or so is the fact that there are other investigations, criminal investigations going on concurrently regarding President Trump in Georgia, mm-hmm. regarding the election there in 2020. And I mean, do we know any more about their? They had a grand jury. We know that. We know their grand jury finished their work because the one juror decided to go on the media tour afterwards, which is ill-advised. But, I mean, do we know, do you have a sense of whether we're going to hear any more about what's going on in Georgia?
I don't. I do see that. I did read an article this morning just that the timing of the Georgia investigation, however you want to term it, is not going to be affected by this. But I mean, we don't have to have, look, I was watching Jonathan Hurley yesterday, and he made an interesting comment on this, and he said, look, the investigations in Georgia, the investigation regarding Mar-a-Lago, those prosecutors don't have to talk to each other. They can just, they're doing it in the public. So the Georgia folks know exactly the timing of the DA Bragg's pending indictment here. So I don't think that they're, I don't know. I don't think they're coordinating per se. I do think that they're watching the news and they're going to say, okay, we're going to hold this back. I mean, look, I'm speculating here, but politics is clearly entered into the equation here. These folks aren't operating dispassionately. They're not operating within the bounds of traditional prosecutorial discretion. So, again, this is just me making a hypothetical here, or me trying to guess this. I think I wouldn't put it past the folks in Georgia to drop this at the most politically inconvenient time, whatever that means to be going forward. If it means that somehow that this indictment is thrown out by a judge early on, then the Georgia folks will drop it in shortly thereafter, or whatever the most politically inconvenient timing of it is. I would guess that that's when it's going to occur, because look, this is as I was saying before, this is the use of the tools of our criminal justice system to attack the political opponents by the left, of course, right? We see this by the left. We don't see this on our side, right? We see what happened in Tennessee yesterday. Did you see that the left absolutely disrupted the Tennessee legislature session, stormed into the Tennessee legislature, took a bull with a bullhorn, cast aside the legislators on the Tennessee floor, and started screaming and yelling protests. Well, are any of those folks going to get prosecuted? Are any of those folks going to be indicted? Are any of those folks going to be investigated like the facts of the J6 folks? Probably not. So we see that this politics has imbued everything, and so I assume that that's going to be probably the controlling factor of those investigations.
We're visiting with Mike O'Neill from the Landmark Legal Foundation, and Mike, I haven't heard anybody who actually, even on the left, who thinks that there's going to be an imprisonment of Donald Trump or anything like that. I think everybody looks at it for what it is, for the politics of it. But when you factor in everything that you just kind of put in, you know, we've got literally the House of Representatives looking into the weaponization of everything from the DOJ to local prosecutors, what are some of the effects, not just on politics, because that can be boiled down to left versus right, but what could this threaten when it comes to societally in our country if we weaponize these foundations of our republic?
Well, first of all, loss of faith, right? I mean, this is what you have. You lose faith. I mean, and even now, even today, after all that stuff I've listened to you, I still instinctually believe that prosecutors and that police, the police are doing the right thing. I believe the prosecutors are doing the right thing. And my initial inclination, and I think I'm joined with by probably a lot of Americans, is that when a prosecutor says, look, we've amassed evidence and that it looks like this individual has committed this crime, my inclination is to side with the prosecutor and say, well, that person probably did do that. There's a reason why the prosecutor's acting that. Clearly, the prosecutor's acting in good faith. Well, my personal, and I would venture to say that I speak for a lot of Americans here, my personal faith in those individuals, in the individuals that hold these immense positions of responsibility in our society, has been irrevocably damaged. I'm not going to look at law enforcement personnel the same way. I'm not going to look at prosecutors particularly. I mean, let's say police. There's millions of police. And again, I shouldn't really say this, but again, prosecutors, I'm not trying to say that the prosecutors are all bad. They're great Americans and they're doing God's work keeping us safe. But my faith in them is going to be eroded and is damaged. And I think that's a real, real sad testament to our country right now, that these individuals that hold these positions, then I'm going to have to look at them, federal prosecutors, state prosecutors, prosecutors in the city, particularly Soros-funded prosecutors, every time I look at them, I'm going to say, well, I'm going to have to question that. That faith is damaged. Also, I think we have, look, this is the first time this has ever been done. You're indicting the president, a former president of the United States, under the thinnest of legal pretenses here. So now you're going to see this, that Rubicon has been crossed. That means that it's been used. If that was enough to indict President Trump, then it's going to be enough to indict President Smith 20 years from now. So I think that that's a real damage to our country. And I think this kind of puts us down. This casts us down into the banana republics, into those third world democracies that the United States has been above for so many centuries.
Mike, I think it was last night that former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi came out with a tweet.
Right, and
in
tweet.
It, she talked about the fact that, you know, she tried to be very even-handed. I will say that she was a very measured tweet, but she talked about, you know, Trump having the ability to prove his innocence.
Sure.
And I thought,
is that how it works?
Yeah, that seems like it's upside down. Am I missing something?
Did they change the rules on that?
No. I think that's the perspective she operates under. I mean, correct. Trump is guilty until he's proven innocent, and that's what they've believed forever.
Right.
At every single term, Trump is guilty until he's proven his innocence. And of course, we all know it's sad. It's scary that the former Speaker of the House, the person who was third in line to being the chief executive of our country, doesn't appear to understand that the burden of proof is on the prosecution and that you are presumed innocent until proven guilty. Of course, what you're saying, but I think the Trump hatred has burned through to those folks that he is guilty until he has proven himself innocent. And they've been, again, what did I say at the beginning here? From the get-go, the moment he rode down on that elevator all those years ago, that there was a committed faction in this country, the left and folks in power, I mean, wielding power at the deep state, have been utterly committed to putting this man behind bars and putting him in jail. No matter what they had to do, no matter what damage they had to do to our country, that is what was going to occur. And I think that just came through with a proven innocence kind of tweet.
All right, Michael Neal from Landmark Legal Foundation. We follow your work there at Landmark. How?
Just go to landmarklegal.org. You can see some of the stuff we worked on. I've been on with you guys before, talked about some of our projects. So just take a look at landmarklegal.org. We didn't even get into the nuts and bolts of the indictment itself, or what the indictment's going to look about. But I'd be happy to talk about that in the future with you guys as the details come out.
Yeah, definitely, because it's still under seal. And I guess what, the process, we might get a look at it this coming week, maybe?
I hope sooner rather than later, right? I mean, sunshine is the best disinfectant. And I think that this needs to be, the indictment needs to come out. And so we need to be able to process it and take a look at it. And as far as we know, as I said before, from what the public can discern from the record, it looks incredibly weak. And it would be, even if a favorable jury in New York City managed to find some sort of guilt there, I don't think it would be upheld on appeal, as you said earlier.
All right. Michael Neal, Landmark Legal. Hey, appreciate you being on the show. Have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot. You guys do too.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.